Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for joining. Hope everyone is staying cool and having an easy fast. Jeremy, I hope you're eating already. And today's daf is Chulin daf Samach Dalet. We are holding on daf Samach Gimel and Beis. We are at Tanu Rabbanan, about 5 lines from the end of the page, on daf Samach Gimel and Beis. Today's sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, Aliyah Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Aleha Shalom, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. What we're going to talk about today is the following. First, we're going to talk about buying kosher eggs. If you buy from a guy, can you trust that the eggs that you are buying are in fact kosher? That's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about how to identify the simanim of kosher eggs and whether those simanim that we have for what's kosher, what's not kosher in egg are d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. The Gemara is going to talk about what's the nafkamina in being able to identify a beitzas sheretz, because the Gemara is going to give identifying features of a beitzas sheretz. Well, who cares if you could identify that it's a beitzas sheretz? Why does that matter that the egg of a sheretz, what the egg of a, that you've identified something as the egg of a sheretz. Then the Gemara is going to discuss finding blood in an egg, in different parts of the egg. When finding blood is a problem for the whole egg, when finding blood is only a problem for that part of the egg, and that only that part needs to be discarded. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the source that a beitzas temeya is asur midaraisa, meaning that if you have a non-kosher bird that lays an egg, that egg must be aser mida oraisa. So let us begin. Tanu Rabbanan on daf Samach Gimel and Beis, 5 lines from the bottom of the page. Tanu Rabbanan lokchin beitzim and ovli chavim b'kol makom. One may purchase eggs from non-Jews anywhere, and you're allowed to eat them. Vein choshin lo mishum nevelus, lo mishum treifus. You don't have to worry that the egg might be from a bird that is a nevela, nor do you have to worry that the egg might be from a bird that is a treifa. Vidil medov tamin inusa says Gemara. Yeah, that wouldn't be what I would be worried about. I would be worried that it came from a non-kosher bird. So shouldn't we have to worry about that? So answers the Gemara, Amar Avud Shmuel, Ba'omer Shel Ov Ploni Tahar. The case is that the guy you're buying it from says, no, this came from a chicken. He identifies exactly which bird it comes from, and that it's a kosher bird. So we know that, meaning he doesn't say it's kosher, he says it's a chicken. We happen to know chickens are kosher, and therefore we know it came from a kosher bird. So since it's something that we're able to check up on by bringing other chicken eggs and comparing it and saying, oh, does this look like a chicken egg? So the guy is not going to lie about such a thing because he could easily be caught in his lie, and therefore we're allowed to trust him. Now, the Gemara's very question that maybe you have to be choshesh that it's a non-kosher, that it's a bird, it's an egg that comes from a non-kosher bird. Tosos in Dibra Maskel V'Dilma is bothered. Vim Tomar. Kivan Ta'ofos Tahorim Havuru Ruba, nasal basaruba. You know, we think in our day and age where everything has to have a hashkacha and it's got to have a reliable hashkacha and everything. So, of course, we would never eat an egg, a random egg that we can't identify that doesn't look like a chicken egg, you know, that that we bought from a guy. Like, what's the hava mina? But, you know, there are dinim in the Gemara. If you find a random piece of meat on the floor and it's clean. So if 9 stores sell basar shchuta and 1 sells basar nevela, the meat is kosher meat. That's the halacha. So why don't we say the same thing by an egg, that when you find the egg, forget about stores selling this, that, just most of the birds are kosher birds. The Torah gives us a very limited list of non-kosher birds. Every other bird is kosher. So it's an overwhelming rove that if you have a bird egg, that it is a kosher egg. So why is the Gemara asking, shouldn't we have to be kosher that it's non-kosher? Why would we be kosher it's non-kosher? Rove of the birds are kosher birds. So several answers are offered by Rishonim. Tosa says, well, in addition to the 24 types of non-kosher birds that we know of, Yeshom Mikomakom Rinlel Meya Ufos Tameim Shem Bimizrach Vukulin Min Ayahain Hilkoch Afshar Diesh Mitmeim Minim Harbe. He says, well, the ayah is one of the 24 types of non-kosher birds that the Torah identifies. There are 100 types of ayahs, so we don't know that the majority of birds are kosher birds. It could be that each of the types of non-kosher birds have 100 subcategories, and there are many more non-kosher birds than there are kosher birds. And even according to Rashi, that there's no Of Tamei that doesn't have a siman tahara other than a nesher and a min nesher, since there are only 24 types of tamei birds. Nevertheless, in some of the minim there are many subcategories, like the Gemara says that there are 100 minim tamei b'mizrach ha'olam, which are all from the ayah. So it could be that the that it's rov tameim. So that is Tosa's approach. That is approach number one. The Ramban suggests that even if this egg comes from a kosher bird, there's a suffix that maybe it's from a nevela or maybe it's from a trefa. So that's why it's going to be aser ba'achila, even if it were from a kosher bird. The only thing is, we said that you can rely on the fact that most of the birds are not nevelas and trefas. Yeah, but if you take the miut that are nevelas and trefas and you're mitstarif that with the number of birds that are non-kosher, so then it's enough, it adds up to be enough to make it a 50-50 suffix. Say Nachinami, most birds are kosher birds, and most birds are not nevelas and trefas, but there's a miut that are non-kosher, there's a miut that are nevelas, there's a miut that are trefas, so miut plus a miut plus a miut, and that already becomes something substantial. The Rashba does not like that, because he says if that were the case, the Gemara did not have to say that it's a suffix, maybe the beitza is from an of tame, just maybe that the beitza is asura, because the real reason it would be problematic would be the cumulative possibilities of Isser, not just the fact that it's from an Ov Tameh. The Mi'iri suggests a different answer, that even though there are so many different types of kosher birds and more than non-kosher birds, but what's the population of each of those? Meaning there are many, many more, could be, there are many, many more ravens in the world than there are doves in the world, Lamashal. So it could be that, yes, there are more types of kosher birds, but in terms of number, in terms of population, there actually are more non-kosher birds. And then the Ran suggests that the fact that we could buy it anywhere implies, meaning that it says, the Bryce had said, that lochin beit simina ovdei chavim bechol makom. The key words were bechol makom, that there must be places in the world where there are more non-kosher than there are kosher birds, and even there you're allowed to buy them. So that's the chiddush, that you're allowed to buy it bechol makom, even in a place, because there are more kosher birds in the world, but not bechol makom, not in every single place. There's got to be some places where you can't. So the Gemara's answer was that the guy tells you that it's from a kosher bird, and that is good enough because he might be caught in his lie. And according to our gears of the Gemara, the guy has ne'emanus to say that it's from a particular type of kosher bird, because otherwise he would be caught in his lie. The Rambam in Hilchos Machlokes Issuros Parak Gimel Halacha Yutes says we're not allowed to buy eggs from Novik Chavim unless you can see by Tvias Ayin that it's from a kosher bird. And the Magid Mishnah is Medayik that the Rambam holds that a goy is not Ne'eman to tell you that it comes from a kosher bird, and the Rambam must have had a different girsa in our Gemara. That in our Braisa, the Rambam doesn't have the girsa of Min Ha'ovdei Kochavim, that it's about a goy. No, the Rambam's girsa in this Braisa is that it's a Jew who's not so trustworthy. So a Jew who's not so trustworthy, he tells you if it's from kosher, it's from a kosher bird, that's what you could trust. That's all sugya in the Gemara. But if it's from a guy, he has zero ne'emanos whatsoever. You know, sometimes anyone who works in kashrus will tell you that sometimes the guy has more ne'emanos than the Jew who's not so trustworthy. I was just in the car last night. I drove to a wedding in Lakewood with Rabbi Finkelman, the Mashkiach in Aruch Chaim, and he told me that he had a shever brachas for someone, and it was at the chosen restaurant in Great Neck, I think it was. So he said he's makbid on Yashan, so he brought a challah roll with him. And he said, a guy in a nice suit, clearly not Jewish, comes over to him and says, you are not bringing that bag into my restaurant. And he said, no, it's just bread because I have Yashan. He said, you will not bring that bag into my restaurant. I will not compromise the kashrus of my restaurant. And Rabbi Finkelman said, I turned to my wife and I said, we could definitely eat here. You know, like this is a, you can rely on the kashrus here. So sometimes, okay, but in halacha, a Jew generally has a little more ne'emanos. Okay, so ask the Gemara, why does Avuah de Shmuel require that the Nachri tells you that it comes from a kosher bird? V'leima shel of that it comes from of ploni tahar. V'leima shel of tahar. Can't the Nachri just tell us that it comes from a kosher bird in general without telling us which of tahar it comes from? Just tell me it comes from a kosher. Why does he have to tell me it's a chicken, it's a dove, it's a this? Say, Iyachi isle lishtamute. No, because if you were to just say it's a kosher bird, and you're going to say, oh yeah, well, it doesn't look like a dove egg, it doesn't look like a chicken egg, well, he'll be able to say, yeah, but it's an egg of a different kosher bird. So it says, Marv, lived up with simanim. Why do I need any of this? Why don't I just check the simanim of the egg? Meaning there are ways to look at an egg and to know whether it came from a kosher bird or not. How do I know that there's such a thing as simanim on an egg? Titania, the Brisa tells us. Kisimani beitzim. Kach simani dagim, that the same simanim that you have for eggs from a bird, so too you have the same simanim to be able to tell if a fish is kosher. Says Mark, that doesn't sound right. Simani dagim salkadaitach. A fish's fins and scales. You will never find an egg, a bird's egg that has fins and scales. So what are you talking about? How could you say they're the same thing? Snapper kaskes is amarachmana. It's fins and scales when it comes to a dug. Ela ema. No, no. What we meant to say is kach simane ubre dogim, that the simanim of beitzim of eggs of a bird are the same as the simanim of eggs of fish, that when you have clusters of fish eggs, so that's the same simanim. So the Gemara now explains what exactly are the simanim of a kosher bird egg. V'tanya gabe beitzim, it says by the eggs of birds, elu ein simani beitzim, the following are the simanim to know whether it's kosher or not. Kol shekoderes va'agul golas, any egg that is round, but it's not mamish spherical, like a perfectly round ball. It's, think of a chicken egg. It's not a perfectly round circle, but rather, rosha echad kad, rosha echad chad, it's a little more pointy at one end and a little more wide at the other end, like a chicken egg. Tahora, that is going to be a kosher egg. Shnei rosha echadin, o shnei rosha echadin, but if both ends of the egg are either come to a point or they're both flat, meaning are wider, so then tamei, and then that's a simin that it's a non-kosher bird and it is asur ba'achila. And then there's another simin, chelbon mibachutz, the white of the egg is on the outside, the chelmon mibifnim, and the yolk, the yellow, is on the inside, tahora, that is a kosher bird. But chelmon mibachutz, if the yellow is on the outside, the chelbon mibifnim, and the white is on the inside, tamei, then that is going to be a non-kosher bird. The Darkei Tshuva writes in Siman Pei Vav that if you find an egg that has only chelbon without any chelmon, the Gemara doesn't tell us what that is. Is that kosher? Or is that not kosher? If it has only chelbon, which means only the white part without the yellow, so he quotes Yesh Osrim, and some say that if it's a very tiny egg, then it's kosher because the Tarnagolas, when it gets older and it stops laying eggs, so the last few eggs that it lays are very small and only have chelbon. So Lach L'maisi quotes a lot of poskim that if you find it in a lul shel tarnagolim, so then you could assume it came from an old tarnagolas. But if it's a nachri that tells you that it's from a kosher bird, then he's not going to be neman if you find only white and no yolk. So you see in these in chelmon v'chelbon muravin zebaza, another detail, if the chelmon and the chelbon are not separated from one another, and it's not one surrounding the other, but rather they're all mixed in with each other, so biyodu shi beitza sheretz, then you know that it's a beitza of a sheretz, which is matil beitzim. So we see in these brises that there are simanim to be able to know whether the egg comes from a kosher or non-kosher bird. So how come when you buy eggs from a nachri, do you need the edus of a nachri? Just look at the egg, and if you look at the egg, you'll be able to tell. So it says, well, let's shrich the chatuchos. Now the Brice is talking about a case where the eggs are cut up, so there's no way to look at the egg to see if the white is on the inside or on the outside. So because it's already cut up. So if a livdok bechelmon bechelbon, okay. So if it's cut up, but you should still be able to see the chelmon and the chelbon. Which way? I mean, you won't be able to see the roundness, you won't be able to see the tip and the point, and that, but you'll still be able to see the chelmon and the chelbon. No, but trufos bekara, it's scrambled eggs. I mean, it's all been mixed, and the chalbon are no longer distinguishable. They're no longer in their original form. So v'chia gavna mizavnin minayu. Wait a second. If they're beitzos trufos in a ka'ara, are you allowed to buy such eggs from a nachri? V'atanya, doesn't the price tell us ein mochrin beitzas trefa la'ovid chavim? You're not even allowed to sell a beitza of a tarnagolas that has simani trefa to a guy because the Nachri is because the Nachri might turn around and sell it to Israel. El imkain trufa bekara. You know when you'd be allowed to sell a trefa egg to a guy? If you were trufa bekara, if you mixed it up in a plate where you can no longer separate, where the chalbon and the chalmon are all mixed together. And why are you allowed to sell it when it's trufa bekara? Because no Jew will ever buy that from him. So the assumption of this whole price is a Jew is never buying an egg like that. That's like the universal symbol of don't buy this if it's trufos bekara. So it can't be that the Brice is talking about a case where the Jew buys beitzim trufos bekara from a Nachri. You're not allowed to do that. So the cash is back. If the Jew who's buying from the guy full regular eggs, why do you have to ask the guy anything? Just look at the egg. And even if it's chatucha, that the shell is peeled off of it somehow, look at the chelbon and the chelmon. Allah Amar Rabbi Zeira, simanim lav daraisa. The simanim of eggs, what's kosher, what's not kosher, is not a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it's not a din daraisa, and therefore we cannot be somech on it to be matir any eggs. Di lo te malachi, because if you don't say that the simanim are not daraisa, hada Amar Ravasi shmonis sveko sein. That which Ravasi says, that there are eight types of birds that are sveikos, whether they are kosher or non-kosher, l'chora, why is it a suffix? Livdok bebeitzim d'tu. Can't you just look at their eggs and you'll be able to tell if the bird is kosher or not kosher? Meaning if the simanim of eggs are daraisa, that's a great, you know, backdoor way to find out which birds are kosher. Wait till it lays an egg. Look at the egg. See if it has the simanim of a kosher egg. And maybe you'll know that the bird is a kosher bird. So it must be that simanim of eggs are not halachal moshe misirai, and therefore, even if it has the simanitara, the eggs have the simanitara, you cannot rely on those simanim to say that the bird that it came from is necessarily kosher as well. Says the Gemara, okay, so if the simanim cannot be relied on, why do you need to tell me what the simanim of the eggs are? Meaning, they're not daraisa, I can't use them to tell me if the thing is kosher or not, so then what's the point of the simanim? So hachi kamar, what it means to say is as follows, shnei roshei hakadin, o shnei roshei hakadin, if both ends, the top and the bottom of the egg are flat, or both the top and the bottom of the egg are pointy. O chelmon mibachutz v'chelbon mibefnim. Or if the chelmon is on the outside and the chelbon is on the inside, vaday temeya. That is, you can be sure that is a non-kosher egg. Meaning the simanim are helpful to identify not what's kosher, but what is definitely not kosher. Reishechad kad, v'chelbon mibachutz v'chelbon mibefnim. If it has all the simanim kashrus, v'amr l'chash of Ploni Vitaru, Smoch Aleim. And in conjunction with that, the guy tells you that it's from a particular kosher bird, then you can rely on it, because the evidence you're seeing in front of you does not contradict that which he's telling you. But Bistama, but if Novi Chavim just tells you that the Beitza Stam is from a kosher bird, but he never tells you which kosher bird, then Lo Tismach Aleim. Do not rely on those Simanim if he's not going to tell you which kosher bird it's from. Di'ika to Orva to Dami L'Diona, because there are Beitzim that come from an Orev, that come from a raven, that look very much like eggs that come from a Yona. And therefore, you're not going to be able to tell, based on the Simanim alone, whether it's an Ov Tahor or not. Now, the Ramban writes that if Chazal find that the eggs of an Orev are similar to the eggs of a Yona, so they're not somech on the Simanitara of eggs, because they're Choshesh, that it must be, not that every time you see an egg, that it might be the egg of a raven, it's that there might be other non-kosher birds that also have simanei tahara, meaning only the simanei tuma are foolproof. Simanei tahara, we know that there are exceptions. We know that by an orev, its eggs look like kosher eggs. So Mela, says the Ramban, we're choshish, there might be other non-kosher birds that produce kosher-looking eggs. But if we had the simanim had been a mesora misinai, then we would not be choshesh, even though beitzas orev has the simanim, because the beitzas orev are miyut shabemiyut. And if you come up, if the only possibility of it being non kosher were being a beitzas orev, and there was no chance of any other bird having these having simanei tara, you would be able to eat it. You would not have to be choshesh that the egg you're looking at is a beitzas orev. That you would not have to assume. So therefore, the Ramban says it must be that the Gemara is saying, for example, a beitzas orev looks like a beitzas yona, but probably it's not the only example. There may be others as well. The Urayim, however, disagrees. He says not only an orev has eggs that look like a yona. There's no other of tame whose eggs have simanitara, and therefore small eggs that look like they could be dove eggs, eggs of a yona, you have to be choshish that they're beitzim of an orev. But if you have much larger eggs, that no dove would ever be able to produce eggs this large, and it has simanei tara, says the Urayim, then it's a kosher bird, then it's a kosher egg. See, even though those simanim are not always true, but it's always true in larger eggs, because the only lone exception that we know of is that of an orev. So that is the machlokas between the Ramban and the Urayim. So now, we had said previously in the Brisa about a sheret, that Amar Mar, chelbon v'chelbon mu'urav in zebazeh, v'yadua shi beitzas ha-sheret, that if the chelbon and the chelbon are mixed in with one another, then you know it's a beitza of a sheret. Well, l'may hilchsa, l'may nafkamina l'halacha, whether the reason I'm not allowed to eat this is because it's a beitza sheret, or because it's a beitz of an of tame. Like, what difference would that make to me? It's not kosher, so I can't eat it. Why do I need to know if it's a beitz of sheret or it's a beitz of an of tame? Just say a beitz of tameya. Why do you have to be so specific? So Amar Avukva Barchama Lomar Sheim Rikma V'Nikva Mitama B'Kadasha. The Bryce is telling me that it's a beitz of sheret, so that I can know that if you the sheret is already forming inside of it, and there's a nekev, there's a hole in the egg, then it's metame. That beitz is metame b'kadasha, because that's how big the sheretz is on the inside of it to be metame. So mask Ravina v'dilma d'nachashi. Ravina says, how can you say that any beitz that the chelbon and the chelmon are ravim sebazeh, that the bird inside is going to be kosher? Maybe it's a beitz of a nachash, which is similar to a beitz as sheretz, and also as chelmon and chelbon that are mixed with one another. But guess what? The nevela of a nachash, of a dead nachash, is not metame, unlike a dead sheretz. A dead sheretz is metame, but a dead nachash is not metame. So how can you say with such confidence that it's a beitzas sheretz? And therefore, you can have problems of tuma, a beitzas nachash. It might be a beitzas nachash, and you're not going to have a problem of tuma. In the Nimuke Chaim, which is a sefer I'm not familiar with, but it's quoted in the Masifta, he asks the following question, that our Gemara says, maybe this is the egg of a snake, but the Gemara in Bechorah says that the gestational period of a snake is 7 years. And Rashi says what that means is that it remains pregnant for 7 years. Now, l'chora, if it lays eggs, it doesn't remain pregnant, because it's outside of the body that all of this happens. What he suggests is that it doesn't remain pregnant. The snake does not carry a pregnancy. Rather, it's that we refer to an ibur as even that which happens outside of its body, even when the egg has already been laid and the egg is developing outside of the body. I don't know, that Gemara needs explanation anyway. I don't think we know of too many snakes that have a 7-year gestational period, so it needs some sort of explanation anyway. So back into the Gemara. So Ella Amar Rava. So Rava answers again, why does the Braisa tell me that this is a simen, that it's a beitz of a sheretz? Just say that it's not kosher. So he said, oh, because it's a dinim of tuma. Well, maybe it's a snake. How do you know it has dinim of tuma? Ella Amar Rava, the reason that the Braisa tells me it's a beitz of a sheretz, she'im rikma, that if the sheretz takes form inside of it, va'achala, and you eat it, lokala mishum sheretz ha-sheretz ala aretz. You get malchus for eating a sheretz ha-sheretz ala aretz. And that would be true if it's a nachash as well, because a nachash is also a sheretz ha-sheretz ala aretz. Maybe it's not one of the Shemana Shratzim for that are whose dead bodies are metame, but certainly it's a sheretz ha-sheretz ala aretz. So the Brice is telling me that you need to know it's from a non-kosher sheretz, and if someone gives you a hasra'a that you better not eat that because you're going to get malchus for violating sheretz ha-sheretz ala aretz, that in fact would be true. But if they give you a hasra'a for sheretz ha'of because they see that it's an egg, then it's off base and you would not be chayiv malchus for that. But if the Brisa just would have said that it's a Beitza Tameya, I would have thought that it means it's a Beitzas Ov Tameya, and therefore that Hasra for an Ov Tameya would be sufficient Hasra. So that's why it has to tell me not that way, that it's that Hasra that you get for it has to be for a Sheretz. Ask the Gemara Yihachi if that's true, that the Brisa is coming to tell me that if there's Nefroach inside that Beitza, you violate, it's a Sheretz inside of it, and you're going to get Malkus for eating a Sheretz, a Sheretz Allah. My area the tamei, filu the Torah nami. Why does the Bais have to tell me that the siman of a sheretz tamei, even in a froch of an oftar, you violate that lav? Meaning, if you have a bird that never hatched, it's also a sheretz hashoretz ala aretz. Titanya, because the Bais tells us when the Torah tells me about the Yisra of eating shratzim, call a sheretz hashoretz ala aretz lerabos efrochim shlo niftuchu einayim. That if it's a bird that never even opened its eyes, it never was mature enough to open its eyes, it's nothing but a sheretz hasharetz ala aretz. So the afroach inside the beitza obviously didn't open its eyes yet, so it should be asur mishum sheretz. So now we're back to our question. Why does the Braisa have to tell me that this beitza is the beitza of a sheretz? So first we thought nafkamina would be legabe tumah, but that doesn't work because we're not sure that it's not a snake. So then we said, oh no, nafkamina for that you're a violation of sheretz hasharetz ala aretz. No, it's not a nafkamina because a bird is also a sheretz. The Prichadosh brings a raya from here, by the way, that you see from here that shratzim that are created inside things that are not gidulei karka, like basar and dagim and gvina, shratzim sometimes they develop inside, and we know now that they don't develop there, they're microscopic organisms that come from outside, but in halacha we view it as that they grew, that they started, that they developed inside of the meat, the fish, the cheese, that there's an isra of sheretz hasharetz ala aretz. Unlike the Rav Yah, who says that tolaim that are created in things that are not gidulei karka are not sheretz hasharetz ala aretz, because over here this bird that's inside the shell is the sheretz hasharetz ala aretz, even though it's inside the egg, it's not gidulei karka. So you see that it develops in something that's not gidulei karka, and nevertheless it's called sheretz hasharetz ala aretz. So anyway, answers the Gemara. The idea that a bird that has not yet opened its eyes, that if you eat such a bird, you violate sheretz hasharetz ala aretz, midrabanan. That's only midrabanan. Kras machta bialma. Pasuknas machta bialma. So you're not going to get malchus for that. So therefore, it's important to know that what's a beitzas sheretz and what's a beitzas oaf, because while it's asrti both of them, the beitzas sheretz, you're going to get malchus for eating sheretz hasharetz ala aretz, provided that you were given hasra'a properly. So now the Gemara discusses Tan Rabbanan, Giulei Beitzim Mutaros. If you have Beitzim of non-kosher birds that are cooked together with Beitzim of kosher birds, so you're making hard-boiled eggs. So you put in a pot, non-kosher eggs, kosher eggs, all in the same pot, and it's boiling up. So you think Giulei is like a lashon of Hagala, that the tam transfers from one to the other. So if it seems that the tam is transferring because they're being cooked in the same pot, Mutaros, you're allowed to eat them. They don't become us on account of the kosher eggs do not become asr on account of the possibility that they got tam from the non-kosher eggs, because whatever tam comes out of an egg we view to be like mayim, and it doesn't have the ability to affect tam in the other eggs or in the nor in the pot. The Prima Gadim is not sure whether it means that it's not nosin tam at all, like mayim, which has no tam at all, or maybe it has a tam but it's a tam kolosh. And sometimes when something is a weakened enough tam, like blios after 24 hours, there is tam, it's just it's a weakened tam, so tam kolosh, maybe that's why it doesn't aser. What would be the nafkamina? Who cares? If it doesn't aser, it doesn't aser. Why do I care if it has zero tam or it has tam but it's a tam kolosh? So nafkamina would be if it's a davar sheyesh lamatirim, because the halach is that a davar sheyesh lamatirim asers b'mashehu, anything that will one day be mutter is aser b'mashehu. So even a tam kolosh would aser on a davar sheyesh lo matirim. The place he writes that he's not masupik about this. He's sure that there's a tam kalush. He says because chush meyit that there's a little bit of tam. He says elamai that tam is not enough to treif anything up unless it's a davar sheyesh matirim. Then maybe it would be okay. Beitzim uzaros. If you have beitzim of a tarnagolas, but it never was fertilized. It never came in contact with the male, so there's no ephroach developing in it. The mother is just sitting on this egg, and therefore it becomes spoiled from the mother sitting on it without a chicken developing in it. So nefesh yafa tochem, a person who's not an istinus, who can stomach it, is allowed to eat it. It's not going to be usher teeth. There's no halachic issue with eating it. It's just kind of gross, so you better make sure you can stomach it before you eat it. And not only that, the Rashi writes, if you find blood in such an egg, you're allowed to eat the egg because there's no development of any fetus going on over here. It will never be in a froach. So that you know for sure that blood is not the beginning of the development of an froach. It's blood from the guf of the tarnakolas that somehow made its way into the egg. So the rest of the egg is going to be mutter teeth, and that's why we pasuk in Shulchan Aruch that if this egg never came in contact with a male, which by the way, unless you buy organic, free-range, whatever, eggs, you buy regular commercial eggs, and there was no male ever in the vicinity of those eggs. So mi'ikra mi'ikra din, if you find a blood spot in the egg, you don't need to throw out the egg, you only need to throw out the blood spot, because we know it wasn't developing into anything. That's mi'ikra din Shulchan Aruch, but go tell that to your babi, right? Meaning, it will get thrown out, but technically it doesn't need to get thrown out. Now, why do we say that a nefesh yafa tochlim? And what if I'm an istinus and I'm just really hungry? So the Achronim point out, no, if you're an istinus, then it's a violation of bal teshaktzus nafshoseichem, that eating things that are disgusting, even if it's just disgusting to you, apparently, it's a violation of bal teshaktzus nafshoseichem. Nimtza le koridam, zorikas dam v'ochlas hashar. If you have a beitza of a tarnagolas that did come in contact with a zachar, and you find a little bit of dam on it, then you zorik the dam and you can eat the rest of the egg. So Rabbi Yirmi Vushanim Sal Keshashla. Rabbi Yirmi says, whoa, 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 it depends where you found the dam. If you find the dam on a certain part on the chel bone, in the top of the round part that's wide, in place where the zera of the tarnagol is likely to be found, that's where the yitzira begins. So if the dam was still there and had not yet spread anywhere else, then you could eat the rest of the egg because nothing else was developing. But when you find that dam on the chalmon of the beitza, then you assume it got throughout the entire beitza, then you need to throw out the entire egg. So in order to have to throw out the entire egg, not only you find dam, but that you find dam on an egg that has come in contact with a male, and you find it on the chalmon of the beitza. That's when you have to throw out the entire egg. Tani dustai avud Rabbi Apturiki. Dustai, the father of Rabbi Apturiki, taught a braisa that lo shanu al shenimtza al chelbon shala. This din that you're allowed to eat the rest of the egg is only if you find the dam on the chelbon. Aval nimtza al chelmon shala, afil beitza asur. But if you find it on the chelmon, the egg is going to be asur. My taima. Why is it that dam that's on the chelmon of the do we assume the whole egg is asur? Deshada tichla bekula, because we assume that the problem has spread throughout the entire egg. It's already been nispashet throughout the entire egg. Amalei Rav Gavia. Me Beik Seal, Rav Gavia from a place called Beik Seal said to the Rav Ashi, Ipcha Tani Tana Kameda Abaye, one of the Chachamim who taught Brisos, taught this Brisa in the exact opposite way that we only say that you're allowed to eat the rest of the egg when the dam is on the chelmon, but when it's on the chelbone, the entire Beitz is Aser, Vabaye who did Tarsin Elehachi, and Abaye was the one who was Mesakein the Tana and told him, no, the proper girsa is this way, that it's only if that we only say that the rest of the egg is going to be mutter when the dam is on the chelbone, but when it's on the chelmon, then the rest of the egg is going to be aser. So that's the conversation that happens. So now the Gemara says, how do I know that a beitza of an ovtame is not kosher to begin with? Amar chizkia minayin the beitzas tameya she asur min haTorah. Who told me that a beitza that comes from a non-kosher bird is asur min haTorah? The Rishonim say, who told me? What do you mean? Kol yotze min haAser is asur. Anything that emerges from a pig milk is asur, camel milk is asur. Right? So eggs from anything that emerges from a treif animal is a treif thing. So Tosa suggests, on Amud Aleph in Dibra Maskel Shem Rikma V'Yachla, that since the Gemara is going to prove from a pasuk that a beitzas of tahor is mutter, even though it came from a living bird, and we should have asked it because it's yotze min haAser, it's coming from an eiver min haChai, it's coming from a living bird. bird. How can we eat chicken eggs? So the Gemara brings up pasuk. So I would have thought that the Torah is telling us that the din, meaning when the Torah allows us to eat chicken eggs, even though the chicken is alive, what's the Torah doing? There are two ways to understand that. One way to understand it is chicken eggs are okay. The other way to understand it is when it comes to birds, there's no din called yotzei min ha'asur asur. Right, there's no din called that which comes from that which is asr is asr. Right, I mean, you could understand that. No. We're just saying it's not called that it's yotzi min eivrim and achai, even though the mother's alive. But if there was any other isr, it's a nevela, it's a trefa, it's a of tame, so then it's going to be a problem. Or maybe no, maybe it's just telling us that there's no such din of yotzi min asr asr when it comes to a bird. So that's how Tosos suggests. The Ramban says differently, that we need a pasuk to tell me that you get malchus for beitzos of tame. But in a chinami, it is an isr of Yotze, for sure, it would be usher, that there's no doubt. The question is, how do I know that you get malchus for such a thing? That was Gemara's question. So anyway, so Amar Chizkiah, minayin lebeitz tamei ashi asur min ha'Torah. How do I know that it's asur min ha'Torah? She'nemar, because the pasuk says, ve'es bas hayana. All the birds lay eggs, and they don't give birth in the way that a mammal would give birth. So what do you mean a basayana? They don't have a daughter. It comes from an egg. It doesn't come out of the baby doesn't come out of their body. So it's not like it works when it comes to mammals. So ella ezo zo beitza tmeya. So what is a basayana then? Oh, must be that it's a beitza tmeya. That not only is the yana itself aser, but its beta, that its egg is also going to be aser. So ask the Gemara, how do you know that bas hayana means the beta that comes from a yana? Vidilma hainu shamayim. Maybe that's just the name of this min. There's a min called a bas hayana, and that's just what it's called, right? Meaning, so a guy is a ben Torah. You don't say his father's name is Torah, right? Meaning it's just that's a characteristic of him. That's how you're characterizing him. That's how you're describing the person himself. So, and a lot of times, you find that Bas is part of the Shema Etzem. There's a lovely Jewish girl's name, Bas Sheva. So is it, she's given two names, Bas and Sheva? No, it's one name, it's Bas Sheva, it's part of the Shema Etzem. So it doesn't mean the daughter of someone named Sheva. So one might ask, the Rishonim point out, that if Bas Hayana is the name of the Min, then the Torah should have written the Hey Hayadiyah before the Shema of the Min, right? Why is it Bas Hayana? It should be Habas Ya'ana, if it's all one name of the min, right? Because like the Torah says, Hanesher, Haperes, because so he says, no, it's not so, because a lot of times when you have a double word, you have two words that are the name of the min, even if they're both the Shema Etzem, the Torah often writes the Hey prior to the second word. The Hey idea comes in the beginning of the second word. Kiryas Ha'arba, Beis Halachmi, Beis Ha'eli, it comes up all over Tanakh like that. So that's one of the, it's a diktuk Rashi on Chumash. Rashi on Bereshis Paraklamet Hei says like that. We just don't remember it because it's a diktuk Rashi. But Rashi says that that often is the way that it will say things. So that's not proof one way or the other. So anyway, so the Gemara is saying, how do you prove from the phrase Bas Hayana that the eggs of a Yana are treif? Maybe it's a name of a particular species called a Bas Hayana. So it says, Marlo Salkadai, nah, that can't be, Duchsiv, because the Pasuk says in Megillas Eicha, Bas Amila Achzor, Ki Ya'enim Bamidbar. So the Torah calls it Ya'enim, not a Bas Yana. So the Shema Etzem of the Min is Ya'ena, it's not a Bas Hayana. So asking more below, is a Bas Yana not a name of a Min? Vaksiv, but the Pasuk says in the Navi Micha, and this is a fantastic Dafyomi coincidence for Shiva Asur Betamus. The pasuk says, I'll read the whole pasuk, even the part that Gemara doesn't quote. Al zos espeda ve'elila el chasholol va'arom esa mispeid katanim ve'evel kivnos ya'ana. So what's going on in the pasuk? The Navi Micha is being mekonin about the tsaros that are going to happen to Yehuda and to Yerushalayim, and he's being made about himself that he's going to be maspid and mekonin, and he's going to go crazy, like he's going to act like a crazy person because of the tsar that he's experiencing. So it's a lashon Hashem Guzma, the great Tsar of what that's going to be La'asad Lavo, and he's going to make a hesped like Tanim that are a type of Nachash that cries out all the time, so it's as if they're screaming in hesped all the time, and he's going to make an Evel like the Benos Ya'ana that are always crying out with a bitter voice that is that's constantly being heard. So you see from this pasuk that a Bas Ya'ana is the name of the Min, because if it meant the Beitzim of a Ya'ana, that makes no sense. That you're going to say it's crying like an egg. No, eggs don't cry. Meaning, even if birds, maybe they're not really crying. Maybe they're just making a sound that sounds like cry. But that's a proper mashal. So you say I'm going to be crying and screaming like that bird, like that chirping bird. But like a chirping egg, you don't have chirping eggs. So that doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says no. The Navi means Kiyana zu shemisabelis al baneha. It means I'm going to cry like the mother Ya'ana that cries for the loss of its eggs, that when it loses its eggs, it cries because it lost its children. So it is about the eggs. The Tiferes Yaakov points out, and it means the eggs and not its actual children, because the pasuk says Basamila Achzor Kiyanim Bamidbar, that the Ya'an is a very cruel bird and does not have any rachmanas on its offspring, but its eggs, that loss of potential, that it does cry about. So it says Gemara V'Haksiv, but doesn't the pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya tell us about Bavel, v'shachnu sham benos ya'ana? So you see that from the pasuk that there's a min called benos ya'ana. So says Gemara, no, it's called a ya'ana. Ki ya'ana zu shoshochenes im baneha. That it's like a ya'ana that is shoshochenes im baneha, that resides with its banim. But there is no bas ya'ana that is a shev min, and therefore we see that it in fact is the eggs. The Gemara will continue to question this, but we're out of time. So b'ez Hashem, maybe we'll have shiur tomorrow. We'll see if there's time. If not. But then, if not tomorrow, there's definitely not going to be shiur Motzei Shabbos. So Sunday afternoon for Monday's daf. So this we're doing Friday's daf. So if we have a shiur tomorrow, we'll do Shabbos' daf. We're not going to do Sunday's daf, and then Sunday afternoon we'll do Monday's daf. Okay. Have an easy rest of the fast.